Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace, which leads us through our days. And we ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you this morning, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and minds. Lord, that your Spirit would speak to us. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. In every generation, there are those who stand hand above others in their field. And as we're in the middle of the 2016 Olympics, there are two athletes that are worlds above the other athletes in their particular fields of endeavor. American gymnast, her name? Simone Biles. I watched her the other night in the last final two all-around events, the balance beam and the floor exercise. She hit every move on that balance beam without any of this wavering. And then on the floor, I don't know if you've seen this young lady, but it seemed like she couldn't do any better. You'd think she couldn't do any better than on the balance beam. She nailed every move, every jump. She was so high, she didn't have to land with her knees tucked. It was like she was waiting to get onto the ground and her knees were straight and there was no, second bounce. She was amazing. According to commentators, she dominated all the other competition. Ben Cohen of the Wall Street Journal put it this way. Simone Biles wins individual all-around gold by an insane 2.1 points. That's bigger than the margin of victory from 1980 to 2012 combined. That makes up the last 9 Olympic Games. She insanely beat her competition. As much as Simone Biles has dominated over the last 4 years or so of gymnastic events, everyone takes a back seat. Do you know who? The American swimmer, Michael Phelps. Phelps is the world record holder of the 100 and 200 meter butterfly, 400 meter individual medley, as well as former world record holder in the 200 meter freestyle and 200 meter individual medley. He has won a total of 65 gold, 13 silver, and 3 bronze medals in all international competition. He has earned the World Swimmer of the Year award not one time, not two times, but 7 times, and is the American Swimmer of the Year 9 times. In the 4 Olympics he has been in as a swimmer, which is pretty amazing to last 4 Olympics as a swimmer. He has won 10 more medals, 27 total, than the next highest Olympic athlete, and twice as many gold. He's got 22. The next is 8. As the next closest competitor in any sport. Over the last 16 years, he has done what no other athlete before him has done. And many believe some of these records will not just stand for a while, but will stand for all time. In a day when Olympic teams and athletes are enslaved into taking performance-enhancing drugs to boost their ability to compete, it is refreshing to watch an elite athlete like Phelps have the freedom to participate and to come out on top without indulging in performance-enhancing drugs. In the Bible, Paul has been writing to the Galatian Christians to not become enslaved or fall prey to the understanding that one must do more than believe in Jesus Christ as Savior to have an eternal relationship with God the Father. Paul calls this a perversion of the gospel. It's this idea to think or to act upon the understanding that Jesus isn't sufficient enough for a person to be saved, to be heaven bound. Paul tells the Galatian Christians, well, read it with me. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. They were called to be free from this thinking of needing more than Jesus to be saved. And Paul adds this admonition to not indulge in the flesh. Like athletes, there's a freedom in working hard and competing hard, but without indulging in performance-enhancing drugs or any other means to be better. Paul tells the Galatians that they are called to be free, but not to indulge in the flesh. The Greek word here for flesh refers to the sinful state of human beings, indulging in sin. Like the athlete's choice to compete with or without performance-enhancing drugs, Paul tells Christians they too have a choice to live into the freedom that God has given them, or to live into the sinful nature of the flesh, to be free or to be enslaved by the flesh. It's a choice, Paul says. And as he goes on, to either love your neighbor as yourself or to bite and devour each other. Love your neighbor. Bite or and devour. And biting and devouring each other, he goes on to say, is by doing that we destroy one another. Which doesn't sound like anything I would want to be a part of, nor would anyone else who is really searching for God would want to be a part of a church like that. And for churches who bite and devour each other, it gives God's bride a really bad name. So Paul gives the Galatian Christians the solution, the choice to help them to experience true freedom. This is Paul's remedy. Read it with me. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. Hopefully you see a couple of things here about the choice of which direction you should go. First, if you seek to walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful flesh. This isn't to say that you're not going to sin, for everyone falls short of God's perfection. But because you seek to gratify the Spirit, you will not seek to gratify the flesh. Our sin nature, our bent to sin, can take a back seat to the Spirit if we choose. It's like a person saying, I can walk in two directions at one time, but we know it's impossible to do. Just like we cannot walk by the Spirit and gratify the sinful nature of the flesh at the same time. They are opposing each other, Paul says. And he goes on to write, not only do they oppose each other, they're in conflict with one another. Well, let's take a look at it. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Both the Spirit and the flesh want you to follow. One leads to life, to freedom. The other to death or to enslavement. Life or death. Freedom or enslavement. The Spirit or the flesh. But the bottom line is you cannot do both. Just like you cannot walk in two directions at the same time. The other aspect is found in these specific words, so that you are not to do whatever you want. One of the perversions of the gospel Paul speaks about and was adamantly against was this idea that all you need to do is to believe in God, to believe in Jesus, and then you can go do whatever you want. I believe in God. Maybe I believe in Jesus, but I'm going to live my life on my own terms. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to treat other people like I want. I don't need to be in church. I don't need to serve others. I don't need to give generously of my time or my resources. We all know people like that. People who say they believe, but you would never know it by how they live their lives. And I really am concerned about this segment of people. Because Paul is clear, you cannot do whatever you want. In fact, I believe if you do, then you are really leaning heavily toward the desires of the flesh, not the leading of the Holy Spirit. Toward enslavement, not freedom. Toward death, not life. Michael Phelps, at the age of 15, won his first Olympic gold medal. In fact, he won 8 Olympic medals in 2004. Only one other athlete or Olympian over the last 100 plus years of competition has won 8 medals at any one Olympic Games. Then Michael cemented himself in history in the next Olympics, 2008, winning 8 gold medals, 7 in world record times, one, that final one, in an Olympic record. He was, needless to say, on top of his game. Not only his game, but on top of the world. But after the 2012 Olympics, he began to make choices which led to his demise. A lifestyle he had been living became more public. He received his second DUI arrest and had been doing drugs. He had had it all. But he didn't have the spirit. In fact, he goes on to say about himself, he thought the world would be better without him. 2 years later, in 2014, when he was at a low, a friend of his, Ray Lewis, an all-pro linebacker for the Ravens, convinced him to go to rehab and gave a book for him to read called The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. One of the things Michael says about that time was that he didn't know who he was outside of the pool. This is one of the greatest and sometimes one of the most perplexing questions that we face. Who am I? Who am I? During rehab, he read the book and found who he was in Christ Jesus. He was able to move away from living for the flesh and to begin living in the Spirit. Another aspect for Phelps is he was, for the first time, able to forgive his father, who had divorced his mom at the age of 9. That's 19 years of holding on to bitterness and anger and unforgiveness, which is a lot for anybody to bear. But he was able to forgive, being led by the Spirit, and it set him free. Commentators have even mentioned that he is more at peace with life now than he has ever been in the past. We must all realize that our identity, our true identity, can only be found when we are in right relationship with God and when we are walking by the Spirit. Now, my real concern for people in general and for those who call themselves Christians is this. Paul just said you cannot just believe in Jesus and do whatever you want. He goes on to spell out 15 acts of the flesh, only 15. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred and discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. As activities that our sin nature wants to indulge in, and friends, I don't believe you have to physically indulge in these activities. But your mind can. Your heart can. It doesn't have to be physical. And he ends with this reminder. Read it with me. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you see my concern? You can say you believe, but Paul is basically saying that your actions better line up with your beliefs. And if your actions don't line up, you will not, Paul writes, you will not, the Bible says, you will not, says the Spirit, inherit the kingdom of God. That's quite a price to pay for a few short years we call life on this world to do your own thing instead of walking by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit. Paul says, walking by the Spirit, you'll find freedom. That's the solution. And a life which follows the Spirit will also have certain marks that are in direct opposition of those who indulge in the sinful flesh, the sinful nature. A life in the Spirit will have these characteristics. Read them with me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you see these marks in your life? What area in your life do you need to allow the Spirit to work on so that these marks of the Spirit become more prominent in your life? Friends, the Spirit of God wants to surround you, to fill you, to mold you, to envelop you, to lead you to a greater life of freedom and into a deeper spiritual life with God the Father and the Son. So what in your life is stopping you? What is keeping you or keeping the Spirit from doing the work the Spirit wants to do? What are you holding on to, which is keeping you from totally committing yourself to walking in the Spirit? Give it to God. Give it to God now. Relinquish your hold on it and say, Spirit, I give it to you now. As we prepare for communion in a few moments, decide now to renew your commitment to be led by the Spirit of God, to open yourself up, to listen to more of what the Spirit wants to do in your life. Each week, each day, each hour, sometimes each moment, become more aware of when a decision stands before you to either follow the Spirit or to operate in the flesh. Every action, every thought you take, is it a Spirit-led thing or is it a sinful desire? Spirit, sinful desire. Spirit, sinful desire. To love or to hate, choose love. To be joyful or cause dissension, choose joy. To be faithful or immoral and impure, be faithful. You get the idea. Choose the Spirit over the flesh. Let God fill your life with joy. Surrender your life to the Spirit. Come. Come, Spirit, come. Say that with me. Come, Spirit, come. Close your eyes. Say it again. Come, Spirit, come. Put your palms face upward in your lap. Face upward in your lap. And say, come, Spirit, come. Come, Spirit, come. Turn your palms downward and release all of your sins, all of your disobedience to God. Do this as you prepare your hearts and minds for communion. Take this time to confess any known sin in your life, any area of your life where you have been disobedient to God. Confess that now to God. Almighty God, we know that we are imperfect people. And yet your word says that when we confess our sin, you are faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That as far as the east is from the west, you will remember our sins no more. And so, Almighty God, we praise you and thank you for cleansing us from all unrighteousness, for making us whole again. And God, we say thank you. And in this moment, we say, come. Spirit, come. Fill our lives to overflowing with your love, your joy, your peace, your patience, your kindness, your goodness, your faithfulness, your gentleness, your self-control, that we might be the redeemed people that you have called us to be, to live in freedom, to walk with the Spirit, that you might be glorified, that you might be praised. And all of God's people said,